I want to turn our thoughts now to the first chapter of Ephesians. And I will read from the 18th verse. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. That's reading from verse 18 through verse 23 to the close of the chapter, first chapter of Ephesians. I was wondering what value you put on vision. And the loss of vision is not a very bright anticipation to anyone, is it? And we had Sister Carver here during the meeting that has lost her vision. But she wasn't happy over that situation. They sat right here through the camp meeting last summer and were requesting prayer almost every service for Sister Carver's vision. Anyone isn't very happy in the prospect of losing their vision. And Sister Reynolds' vision back there has become impaired. But she doesn't like it that way, so she requests prayer often for her vision. But how do we feel about our spiritual vision? Can we suffer the dimming of spiritual vision better than we can the dimming of physical vision? Can we lose our spiritual vision and still go on better than we could if we lost our physical vision? I thought in this connection about Fanny Crosby. She was a blind woman. She wrote hundreds of songs. We have some of them, and they're all pretty potent. My father used to say about her that Fanny Crosby was blind physically, but she wasn't blind spiritually. I feel that spiritual vision is more important than physical vision. Amen. Physical vision is very important to us as we pursue our course in life here. But spiritual vision will help us to pursue our course to eternal life. And as we weigh things out in the light of eternity, I feel that we would all conclude that spiritual vision is more important to us than physical vision. And as we would pursue every means available to us to hold, to keep, or to improve our physical vision, let us be that much more diligent about using every means that's available to us to improve and hold our spiritual vision and enlarge it and to clear it up. I've been preaching on spiritual vision a few Sundays here, and I'm still on it today, going on down the same line. Now, Jesus told us why there was a lack of spiritual vision. We might think, well, it's this, that, or the other, or people just doesn't have a chance, or what? They haven't been taught. But Jesus told us where the underlying cause of a lack of spiritual vision is. And in the 13th chapter of Matthew, verse 14, he said, "And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should be converted, or understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear."
Yes, Lord.
Now Jesus makes it plain here that the cause of dim spiritual vision or a lack of spiritual vision is heart trouble. It's a condition in the hearts of people. And we need our hearts purified by faith. We need our hearts cleared up from every inordinate affection and everything that would hinder us in being what God would have us to be, for what He is calling on us to be by His grace. We need our hearts healed. Getting your heart healed will help your spiritual vision.
Amen. Yes.
It'll produce a clear, clean-cut spiritual vision to just get your heart healed.
Yes, Lord.
Heart trouble. Hardening of heart. Wax gross. That's hardening of heart. If we harden our hearts against the will of God at any point or against the Word of God on any line, it's going to bring a dimness of vision to us. This people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts, and I should heal them. Now, he spoke about, in this 14th verse, seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Now that's a pitiful condition. Seeing and yet not seeing. Just see, but you don't know what you're looking at. Perception or perceive is defined as to become aware of directly through any of the senses, especially to see or hear. Now those seem, in the mind of Jesus Christ, as well as this definition from the dictionary, those seem to be the two principal senses through which we gain perception. Spiritual perception. To become aware of directly through any of the senses, especially to see and hear. Now, when Jesus was speaking of a lack of being able to perceive, he spoke about seeing and hearing. Those are the principal ones. The dictionary brings them out as the principal ones. It isn't through feeling and taste and different other senses that we have that are under consideration here. Is just seeing and hearing. Jesus admonished us in one of his teachings. He said, take heed how you hear. Now we're all hearing. You're hearing what I say this morning. And you've heard what many other people have said, many other sermons that have been preached. You've heard these things, but Jesus said, take heed how you hear. They can pass right over your head. They can just go right on and you not receive any benefit from them because you were not careful enough how you heard, how you listened. And I might add to what Jesus said, take heed how you see. Seeing and hearing, that's the two principal channels of perceiving. Now perceive is to become aware of in one's mind. Achieve understanding of. Apprehend. Implies not only visual recognition, but mental observation and understanding, and is especially associated with insight. We see things, but we don't have enough insight to apprehend them, comprehend them, take them in, insight. It's perceiving is associated with insight, not just seeing something as an object out there, but seeing what's in the object. Seeing what it means. Understanding. The passage that I read to you this morning, it said the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Receiving understanding of. And is especially associated with insight. Perceive, again, is to apprehend. Apprehend is to attain to, obtain, seize upon. Get a hold upon what I'm seeing, what I'm looking at. Get some insight into it. Break into the thing. Not just see the object, not just see the form, break into it and see what's in there. Apprehend, to attain, to obtain, seize upon. Now we have a text in the third chapter of Ephesians, beginning with about verse 14 and going on down a few verses there. And I'll not go into all of that, but maybe verse 17 down about there, or 18, he says that ye may be able to comprehend. Comprehend means to seize upon together with. That's the literal interpretation of it. That you may be able to comprehend with all saints, or literally, to seize upon together with all the saints the height and length and breadth and depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Seize upon, together with all of us, seizing upon the height and length and breadth and depth of the things of God, analyzing a thing, the eyes of our understanding being opened up to what I'm seeing. I can see something and go away with a confused mystery in my mind about what I was seeing. I just need the eyes of my understanding to be enlightened, opened up to understand what I'm seeing, and to comprehend the vision that I have, that I might pursue it. I'm not talking about visionaries now, or people that live in dream worlds. We have people like that. People that are just visionaries. And they're always talking about some far-reaching something, but there's never any incentive in them to pursue that course. And there are some people living a dream world, and they're just all taken up with fancy daydreaming, and that's the way their conversation runs, but it doesn't mean anything. But I'm talking about a vision, not visionary, but a vision. And everything that's been accomplished in a material and literal sense in this world has been done by men of vision. They had vision. Everything that's worthwhile, vision's involved in it. And everything that you accomplish in your spiritual life, a vision must precede it. Get an idea of it, a perspective. See it. God said to Abraham, look from where you are now, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, and all that you see I'll give you. But you had to see it. We don't receive anything from God till we see it and then pursue it. Go after it. Amen. Now he said, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling. How much do we know about this? What does the hope of his calling mean to us? How bright a hope is that? Is it a hope that's bright enough, as the song said, hark, I hear hope sweetly singing, singing in an undertone, singing as if God had taught her it is better farther on. There's nothing quite so great an incentive to move forward as to see something to move forward to. Lose our vision, we'll not go anywhere. We'll not gain any ground. We need to have a vision and pursue that vision and seek God to open the eyes of our understanding that we may comprehend and apprehend that we're seeing and looking at, and it may become clear in our minds. Now, vision, what you and I need is a vision that goes beyond what's happening to me now. And the conditions in which I'm living now, and what I may anticipate living in any future time. Look beyond that too. A vision that reaches clear on through. The apostle spoke in the 4th chapter of Hebrews about the vision that, or the hope that entereth into that within the veil. Just reaches clear on through the veil of the vaulted skies, and our vision reaches to eternity. Yes. Clear on past what's happening to me now, and the conditions in which I'm living now and what I anticipate living in the future. Jump over the whole thing and have our vision focused right straight on through. Well, maybe I never said that just right. Jump over the whole thing. We've got to go through all of these things. But we need a tunnel vision, I'll tell you that, that just pierces right straight on through, just a straight line through all of the things that we have to pass through in this life, and reaches to the goal out yonder. We can see the goal. I just pray and pray that God will help you and me to have a vision that we can weigh everything out that happens to us in life, and every price that we have to pay, and every sacrifice that we have to make, and every burden that we have to bear, and every suffering that we have to endure, that we can weigh it all out in the light of eternity. Just have a good, clear, clean-cut vision of eternity. And of eternal life. Eternal glory. As Pilgrim said as he ran his race, life, life, eternal life. Had his ears stopped up, he couldn't hear all of the confusion going on around him, and he was just running and crying, life, life, eternal life. Folks, we need to seek God to give us a vision like that. I was thinking this morning and last night of a song we have in our book, but I don't think we sing it. Maybe we never sing it. The title of it's The Last Hymn. It was started by D.S. Warner, and he died before he got it finished, and someone else finished it. But he said in one of those verses, "Oh, shall my immortal spirit, holding now my earthly ties, have at last unbounded freedom in those realms beyond the skies. Oh, my soul, press on to glory. Worlds of bliss invite thee on, evermore to be with Jesus when our life on earth is done." Vision. He had a vision that reached clear on through. Brother Warner suffered many things. You and I suffer many things too, but not to the extent that he did or the Apostle Paul did. But when we're suffering, maybe the enemy will try to make us think we're having a harder time than Jesus or anybody else. Nobody ever suffered like we're suffering. One man told me that. He said, the Bible said Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, but he says it's hard for me to even imagine that Jesus ever went through anything like I'm going through now. Folks, we need vision. Far horizons. A vision that penetrates right on through all of those things into heaven itself. Nehemiah, I could say a lot more about that, but I want to say a few more things, and I'm not going to get everything said I want to say anyhow. The sixth chapter in Nehemiah, he's building the walls of Jerusalem up there. And there was Sanballat and Geshem. They sent messengers to him, and said, come down now and meet us in some of the villages in the Valley of Ono. You ever had any call like that? You know, there's a lot of people in the Valley of Ono in our day. Does God save from sin today? Oh no, we can't be saved from sin. We have sin more or less all the time. Well, does God perform miracles today? Oh no. That was for Christ and the apostles. Well, does he heal today? Oh no. That was just for Christ and the apostles too. That passed away with them. There's a lot of people in the Valley of Ono today, and they want you to come down and reason with them and counsel with them and discuss the situations with them. Well, that's what Sanballat and Geshem were trying to get Nehemiah to do. First, they had come up and said, we want to work with you now. We want to build with you here. We serve God just like you do. And we want to work with you. And Nehemiah says, you don't have any part in the lot with us to build these walls up here and restore this city. You just don't have any part with us. Well, now they want to get him down there in the Valley of Ono. And he sent a message back to him and says, I am doing a great work and I can't take off and come down there. I don't have time to come down there. I'm doing a great work. What's your vision of the work of God? Nehemiah thought the work of God was a great work. And he was engaged in it and he didn't have time to make those detours and argue with insincere people. These folks weren't sincere. And Nehemiah says, I'm doing a great work and I can't come down to you. I can't leave what I'm doing. Is the work of God important to you? Or is it a kind of a side issue? Your priorities. How does the work of God stack up in your priorities? How far down the line is it? People say, well, when I get this done and when I get this done and so on, it reminds me of one woman that told me about her husband, and he was a boat racing enthusiast, and he wanted to be at all the boat races, and he drove into boat races, and he loved his boat, and he loved the water, and he loved to fish. And she said to me, he said, Austin says, after he gets through with his boat and with his fishing and with his racing and all, said, I come first. Well, she was a little ways down the line. That's the way some people are treating God. That's the way some folks are treating the work of God. I get this done and I get this done and then maybe I'll have a little time I can work for the Lord. How are your priorities? How does the work of God stack up in your priorities? Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work. Is the work of God a great thing to you? Amen. Is it an important thing to you?
Yes.
Folks, we need a vision. We're never going to do very much for God till we get a vision of the greatness of God's work. And of the field out there. What's to be done? Somebody said, well, I want to get my family raised, my home paid for, and my children through college and so on. Then maybe I can go out and work for the Lord some. Didn't sound like Nehemiah, did it? vision's important. Perspective means a great deal to you and me. Priorities are important things. But our priorities are going to reign according to our vision. Jesus said in the 4th chapter of John in verse 35, He said, "See not yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest." That's what people are doing. When this is done and that's done, and things get all shaped up here, then I'll go out in the harvest. I'll try to do some work for the Lord and gain some souls. But he said, don't say it that way. Don't say yet 4 months and then cometh harvest, but I say lift up your eyes and look on the fields. Get your sights up. Get your vision cleared. See souls. See the value of souls. What's your soul worth anyhow? What are our souls worth? Well, you don't know and I don't either. Nobody knows what's a soul worth. But he who did know what a soul was worth, and he's the only one that did know, he said, what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That was Jesus said that, and he's the only one that knew what a soul was worth. And because he knew what a soul was worth, he is willing to leave heaven and come down here to earth and bear all the reproach that he bore and hang on Calvary's tree and shed his blood to save a soul. Souls were important to him. He wants souls important to me and to you. And often when I'm praying about souls and for God to deal with souls and to do His best to bring them into the kingdom of God, then I stop and say, well, Lord, I know you're going to do this anyway, but you want me interested in this. You want me a partner in this. You won't be concerned about them same souls that you died for. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're already white to harvest. People say sometimes, I'd like to work for the Lord, but I don't know what to do. I just don't see anything to do. Do like Jesus said, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. Let the prayer of your heart be, Lord, give us a vision. Oh, help us to see. Help us to see, perceive. Don't just see a book or something out there, but actually get some perception of it. The eyes of our understanding enlightened that we can break into it and see what's in there. Understand what we're looking at. Well, the clock's going around there. But I want to leave you with this thought. Proverbs 29 chapter and 18th verse says, where there is no vision, the people perish. A lack of vision on our part will lead us to our own destruction. And a lack of vision of souls out there and of the work of God will cause them to perish because I wasn't ready to be an instrument in the hands of God to reach them and to save them. They'll perish because I had no vision of them, and I'll perish because I lacked in vision of spiritual and eternal things. and of God and what God can do, and of actually having someone in me that's greater than him that's out there in the world. The Apostle Paul says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And I add to that, it doesn't make any difference who they are. They can't do anything about it anyway. If God's for us, they just can't do anything against us. Paul said you can't do anything against the truth, but for the truth. And we see that working out right along. That every effort to put the truth down is just confirming the truth, as folks will stand true to the truth.
Yes, Lord.
And true to God, and love and serve him as they should. Amen.